Hello, this is my Lenten diary for April the 9th, 2022. Today is Saturday in the fifth week of Lent. The reflection today is drawn from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 38. We don't talk much about the end of the world in the Episcopal Church. We tend to want to focus on resurrection, new life, God's mercy, grace, and love, salvation, and opportunity to enter into a reconciled relationship with Christ. There is nothing wrong with that positive message. And we tend to ignore the passages in the Bible that present us with more challenging imagery, or that leave us feeling fearful or anxious. And that's one of the blessings, really, of reading a Bible book like the Gospel of Luke in sequence, because we are confronted with passages that, well, we may not read on a Sunday by Sunday basis in church, or we may never hear, but we can't escape them when we're reading through a biblical book sequentially. And so that's what happens for us today in Luke's gospel. Now, Luke has set these Jesus sayings again in the final week of Jesus' life. He is preaching in the courtyard of the temple precinct. And we have what some scholars refer to as the apocalyptic section of Luke's gospel, where Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the coming of the Son of Man, all one right after the other. Now, when we're talking about the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem, well, Luke's community, reading Luke's gospel sometime in AD, Common Era, would already be familiar with the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem, because that had happened around 70 Common Era. The temple, by the time Luke's community would have read his gospel, the temple and Jerusalem were already in ruins. Not one stone was left on the other. And so, to read Jesus' predictions of the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem, which had already come to pass, to read the next part of the 21st chapter of Luke, where Jesus talks about the end of time, well, that would have seemed imminent. In fact, most first century followers of Jesus truly believed that Christ's return would happen in their lifetime. He had risen from the dead. He had ascended to the heavens. There was the promise that he would return, and most Christians felt that was imminent. All these centuries later, most of us likely don't feel that sort of imminence, which is why I think we need to pay particular attention to a couple of verses in the latter part of the 21st chapter of Luke. Jesus says, "Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day, the day of the Son of Man's return, that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." You might be saying to yourself, well, that was all some fantastical teaching on Jesus' part, the whole business about signs in the sun and the moon and war and rumor of war and nation against nation and earthquakes and how the foundation of the world will be shaken and all of these fantastical images, yeah, that was for a people not as enlightened as we are. And I think that's the height of arrogance for us to say such a thing. How can we not open our news feed right now, see the images of violence and cruelty and bloodshed and pure evil displayed for us from Ukraine, and not understand that what Jesus was saying in the temple courtyard and what Luke reported to Luke's community are all still very much with us? These are all signs that no matter how much we talk about God's love and God's salvation and God's forgiveness and God's mercy and God's grace, these are all signs that we still live under and through the results of sin and death, which are cosmic forces in our world. We, Christians, you and me, we need to be on alert. We need to be on alert because we have been baptized to be agents of healing and reconciliation in a world hell-bent on destroying itself. And guess what? If the world is hell-bent on destroying all that is good and righteous and true, there's the possibility that we, as followers of Jesus, are in their crosshairs. I say that not as a way of inciting fear or worry or anxiety. I say it as a way to hopefully wake us up from the notion that, left to its own devices, humanity will essentially and eventually make progress to the extent that it will save itself. Humankind repeatedly, in general, repeatedly shows its propensity toward its own self-destruction. And so I think that's why Jesus' words through the Gospel of Luke are so important to us. There are many worries in the world with which we can be weighed down. There is much for us to be anxious and sad about. But our call, as people living in the light of Christ's resurrection and in anticipation of Christ's coming again, our work is to continue to work for justice, freedom, and peace, to continue to give witness to the one who gave his life for the salvation of the world, to continue to stand against injustice and violence and oppression and discrimination and all the rest. And I don't know about you, friend, but I couldn't do that on my own. I need the strength of the Holy Spirit. I need the support of a community of faith. We cannot, as followers of Jesus, hunker down in our church buildings and wait on things to get better. We've been called to be out amongst it all, and to do so from a perspective that we are waiting for God to do that new thing that God promised through the prophets, that at the end of time, whenever that comes, whenever it is that God draws the curtain on our mess, that we will be ready to stand before God. That we will be ready to give account of ourselves and of our communities. Because, as we say every Sunday, Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. And that includes all of us. And I believe that the promise of judgment is not bad news. I believe the promise of judgment is an opportunity for us every day to take up our cross, to follow Jesus, to pray for God's mercy, to give witness to God's love, and to contend with those powers and principalities that seek to destroy and corrupt the creatures of God. So, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down. Don't let the day catch you unexpectedly. Be alert. Pray that you have strength. Be confident in the resurrected Lord. And as we say in our Eucharistic prayers, and this I believe is good news, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.